This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our celebrity guest today is a dude whose name is synonymous with some of the best curated DJ sets ever. Like ever. In South America, his name refers to a fruit that tastes like a combination of kiwi, citrus, and pineapple. In South A, Lulo is said to taste like a combination of lounge, deep house, yellow bone pretty boy, and a dollop of shy humility. Please welcome Skululo, Lulo Cafe, Maliwa.
What? I couldn't have even researched that myself.
That's apparently how you taste.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any element of truth to that?
I have not tasted myself. I will need to interview them. We'll need to bring them here.
Lulo 101, because your average uninitiated person would assume you are a Free Stater.
Yeah.
That you're from the Vaal or maybe Bloem.
Sure.
Very few people would know that you are from Tsolo or that you have Transkei background.
Yeah, so my origins are Transkei.
Yes, sir.
So that's where the extended family is. That's where my parents live now.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's like deep in Transkei. It's in a homeland called Emboniswini.
Yes, sir.
But it's just past Tsolo, so the town is Tsolo.
Oh, so you guys go to town, you go to Tsolo.
Yeah, that's what it is. And Tsolo is also closer to Mthatha.
Absolutely.
So if you want to go to the city, you go to Mthatha.
In fact, I was in Mthatha about 4 weeks ago.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And then my host was very, very proud to say, you know, Lulo is my homeboy. She was very, very proud of that.
Yeah, so those are my origins. But
yes, sir.
Obviously, Cecil is based here, and all our parents went to work there. So that's how the town was formed. Really.
So that's how you became a Free Stater.
So my dad came to work this side.
Yes, sir.
And we all just grew up this side.
Mm.
So I grew up in Cecilburg. I grew up as a Free Stater.
Mm.
Cecil is literally Vaal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, like it's just across the river.
You can throw a stone and
get there. Mm. You're in the Vaal. So that's how I am sort of part of that community.
Fond childhood music memories.
Damn. It's strange. It's just like the song by Commodores, Night Shift. Because I just didn't understand why my dad was... Yeah, my dad worked night shift. So I was like, is this song talking about that? It was just a fascination for me. But the song was great. But
it just
had that connection to me. Like, okay, on a night shift.
Sure.
That's like the one song that's always stayed in my mind and meant something to me as a child.
And tell us about the household. I mean, what kind of household was it? How many kids?
We four boys at home.
Yo.
And my mom literally was, not literally, but she lived with us. But then my dad took her back to full school, full high school uniform, everything.
Okay.
So at some point, it was just five men in the house.
Yeah.
Eating from one dish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So basically, you guys were in a hostel.
Yeah. You could say it was a hostel setting.
Yes, sir.
So like I said, like one dish, eating from one dish.
Mm.
Mom is in high school in the Eastern Cape, but we are living.
So why did Ma have to go back to school?
I think it was a decision between her and my father for her to...
Go finish
and then come study at a college here in Sebokeng to be a teacher.
Sure.
So I think it was like... And which is something I really admired about my dad, you know, to sort of say to the wife, hey, go back, go finish your schooling. And then eventually when I retire, you'll handle things. That's how I viewed it.
Sure. So now they're both retired.
They're both retired in the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
Some house with like a view of the mountain. It's insane.
That is dope.
I want to go.
They're living like DJs.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is the dream at this stage? So you're in Sasselberg.
Yeah.
Dad is working at the refinery. He's doing a lot of night shift. You've got three brothers. What's the bigger dream for Lulo at this stage?
At that moment, I think for where I was staying, you can only dream of the music industry, but you won't even know where you would start.
Mm.
But there was always a music connection at home. And it came in the form of a few things. Like one, VHS cassette where we recorded
music videos.
Songs from Studio Mix.
My man, I
had to cut it when Fresh starts speaking, like, ah, damn it.
I apologize.
Yeah. It was that. So, I mean, they were shared. There were probably two, or only two VHA cassettes where each one had their selection of music. So the one will record from a different show and the other would record from a different show. So the connection was music.
Sure.
And then also my elder brother used to, we have family in Soshanguve, Block BB.
Okay.
When he'd come back with cassettes from DJ Corey.
Corey the Groove.
Yes. That's how I was introduced to International House. International.
Dude, you know, I often say the likes of Corey the Groove, Ganyani, Josie the Monk from Tembisa.
Yeah.
I don't know if our appreciation for so-called international would be what it was without the mixtapes.
Yeah.
Because that mixtape spread like wild. I was a teenager in Botswana and I knew of these legends.
I don't know how they distributed them. It amazes me even now because they were just on these clean TDK cassettes.
Yes.
And you know.
And if you had money, you'd use a chrome dioxide TDK
cassette. Yeah, I know. Chrome. It actually did sound differently.
No, it was HD.
Yeah.
In an era of no HD.
Yeah. And for me, that was the dream. The dream was to be in music.
Sure.
But I didn't know how.
Mm.
So I've always just watched and...
So how do you end up in Bloom?
In Bloom, it was after Matric.
Okay.
Like in high school, I did...
So Matric happened where?
Matric happened in Paris, which is... I was closer to Sasolburg.
Sure.
So it's as good as Sasolburg.
Okay.
So in that school, I was studying hospitality.
Okay.
Hotel keeping and catering in high school.
Okay.
So to carry it on, I went to Bloemfontein. It was formerly called Technicon of Free State.
Oh, yes.
Now
yes,
it's called CUT.
Yes.
I studied there. I went to study there hospitality management.
Ah.
And...
So yeah. You're supposed to be a guy there running a hotel.
And... The clubs happened.
Yeah.
I started.
And you know, Bloom has legendary nightlife.
Yes.
And for years.
And for me, that was in 1999.
Yes.
So this is the time when you had just dropped. Glenn was about to drop.
My first gig in Bloom
was
98, 99.
Mm-hmm.
We drove in my little green Golf with my managers. We'd never been to Bloom before.
Oh.
We drove. We literally did an in-and-out trip. We drove, we played, and then there was an after party at some girl's flat. And then at 6 in the morning, we drove back.
Whoa.
In my little green Golf.
Ah.
And I fell in love with Bloom then, and my heart is still in Bloom.
Yeah, because then... The vibe was, oh man, Bloom was just on another level.
Yeah,
you just felt like everyone is there for one thing and music. And my most fond memory of 1999 was when Channel O did an event, a house explosion.
I think with Christos.
Yeah, Chris, Vinny were launching the album.
Yes.
They also had Glenn Lewis there.
Yes, sir.
It was
Glenn was huge in Bloom.
Yes,
Bloom and Lesotho loved Glenn.
Yeah. So it was the most epic... A night I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since then, you guys just kept coming.
Yeah.
And every time I was just that boy standing there in fascination of what the hell are these guys doing? You know? And another memory was at Club Absolute. Christos is playing Moloko.
Sing it back.
No. The Time Is Now.
Oh, Time Is Now, yes.
Yeah, I think the Ken 7 remix.
Yes.
And... They are the rest of the guys. I think Vinny Kabzela is there. They're all standing around the DJ box, hands in the air.
Sure.
It was the most like goosebump pee moment of my life in music. Yeah.
In fact, my favorite nights in Bloom always included Vinny and Christos.
Yeah. They were just
and there was almost like a cult following where you knew that if Vinny and Chris are in Bloom, it's gonna be a wild party.
And Chris had that...
That ponytail looking like
Steven. I think that
we used to call him Steven Seagal. No, we used to call him Steven Seagal.
I think it gave him superpowers. There was no way. It just elevated whatever he was doing.
You know why we called him Steven Seagal?
Yeah.
Because we went to Miami for the Winter Music Conference for the first time in 2001.
Yeah.
When we arrived at one of the clubs, one of the bouncers was like, yo, Steven Seagal is in the house.
Is that how you got in for free? Okay.
So we've been calling him Steven Seagal since then. And then the ponytail obviously disappeared.
Yeah.
So Bloom, you finished school?
No. That's why I say the club thing happened.
Oh, we flunked you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
In my second year, I just couldn't continue. It was a matter of saying to my parents, please, can I try something?
Sure.
I see what I've done here. I've messed up, but please, can I?
So you failed even?
Yeah, no, it was bad.
Okay.
So I was like, please, can I try something out? I've got this thing.
Mm.
And my parents were just like, listen, fine, but when things go bad, you have a home.
Yeah, sure.
Come back to Sasolburg. And in my mind, I'm like, mm-mm.
A one-way ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't know your Angie Kumalo connection. Angie Kumalo is a sportscaster.
Yeah.
Also does radio. Radio like years ago even.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that your love for radio is linked to Angie. Tell us about the Angie connection in Bloom.
I met Angie, my word. How I connected with Angie was because she was doing radio. I just was fascinated by it.
Mm.
But at that time, I was working at the Musica in Waterfront. Waterfront was still a passage then.
Was that the plan you told your parents you were going to make? When you went to Musica, was that the plan your parents?
I just got a job. I just got a job.
Yeah.
And after meeting Angie, she was my first experience of radio.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, I've listened to you guys and everyone, but my first experience of being in a studio with someone and watching them do it and hearing them do it.
Sure.
And for me, it was like, I need to do this.
Mm.
And she was just like that graceful. Oh,
she kicks ass. Angie kicks ass.
But at that time, like I think I felt like a young boy crushing on this goddess.
Yes, sir.
That's what she was to me at that time.
That was like what Notemba Maduma was to me when I used to hear on the radio.
There we go.
Yeah.
So Angie was that. Like I was just fascinated by what she was doing. We used to walk long distance walks to just so I can be at her radio show to listen and see. She also did Sundays, I remember. Sure. I used to join her on Sundays just to see. And really, it's been that. And then I couldn't see her for a while. And then when she came this side, I was just like, I'm glad you're back on radio.
Sure.
Like, this is like now a continuation of who I've always seen you to be.
Sure.
And she's just too amazing.
So you're working in retail.
Yeah.
You're working in retail, life is happening, you flunked out, but you have a dream, there's a picture, but you know that, you know, if all else fails, I can go back to Sasolburg.
Yeah.
But it's not an option.
Yeah, no.
So how does Lulo then worm his way into the larger industry?
So within retail,
there's
two parts of retail. There's the Bloom part.
Sure.
In Bloom, I was a sale assistant.
Sure.
Who went from being just a casual working on the weekend and to being a permanent.
Sure.
And I think basically I became the trusted person at some point, because there is not a Musica that existed in Bloom that I didn't work in.
Mm.
I've opened up new Musicas with the company. Fichard Park, Mimosa, and then I ended up at Mimosa. So the time I was working at Mimosa, now I get a radio gig at where Angie used to work.
Sure.
But Angie's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So I get to, geez, there were so many parts to this. So before that, there was a guy who used to work with us named Do Henning.
Okay.
He had turntables.
Okay.
I was like, you are the guy who's going to teach me how to DJ.
Mm.
So every Sunday I'd go to his place.
Okay.
For about 2 to 3 weeks just for him to show me how to DJ.
Legend has it, you learned how to mix in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then did a gig.
Yes. So I spoke to Shakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the stories are so intertwined. I spoke to Shakes. We had a weekend show.
Yeah.
A mix show. And Shakes, I was like, Shakes.
Bloom legend.
Yeah, Shakes Kumar.
Yes.
I was like, Shakes, I want to come through and do this.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to go practice. I just want to go buy a few vinyls. And then I want to come back and do this. He's like, okay, you have 2 weeks. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I was just at those those place. But already, you know, the thing about learning something, sometimes you can learn something from just watching it.
Absolutely.
And just watching someone do it. So I'd already been watching a lot of DJs. Mm. Okay, they put it there. It means the song is there.
So you had an idea.
I had an idea. Mm. So learning was sort of like the practical part of things. Sure. So Doe taught me 2 weeks. And then in 2 weeks' time, I was at Shakes' show playing. Starting off with what was that? The Moves, If You Leave Now. I remember that was the first song, an alternative version. And I played that 30-minute set, went well. Parallel to that, I saw that there's openings at the station for presenters.
Okay.
And I went. They made me read a news bulletin.
Okay.
just to test me out. Yeah, I remember. They made me read a news bulletin. And I read it. And he was like, okay, we'll call you. And luckily, they got me in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got me in. I started doing radio there. Mm. It was radio of a different kind. So I was I was in retail. Mm. And right after that, I'd go to radio. Mm. And at some point, it just felt like I've reached the ceiling. I'm not getting enough gigs anymore.
I need a bigger pond.
Yeah, I need a bigger pond.
Yeah.
And that's when 2004, I was like, to Jozi we go.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you get to Joburg and then what happens?
I get to Jozi. I stay with my aunt in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
So, but Jozi happened strategically because I just asked for a transfer from the music cadre to the CD warehouse in Sandton.
Ah, yes.
Yes. There, everything opened up. Everything. Like, I met all the people that could sort of bring me to light as to what's happening.
Yeah.
I met Dumisho Masha, I met Ndu, I met Slicker, I met so many great people. I met Vuyo Jack, and I met Sergio from Soul Candy.
Yes, sir.
Because I was there as a sales assistant and then I got promoted to being a buyer. Mm. So now you are dealing with record labels. You are.
Now you're the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that time, I just had to be like, yo, Soul Candy.
Yeah.
I also do this.
I can also do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And really, it's you know, it sounds like I had a plan for that.
Sure.
I didn't really. I was just like taking one step. And just thinking, okay, here's all the people around me. Mm. What can I do with them? How can I take my dream to the next step?
Do you know why I believe you had a plan, even if you don't know that you had a plan? Mm. I firmly believe that every single thing that you do every single day becomes the plan because it leads you to the next step.
Yeah.
And if you didn't kick ass at that previous step, this next step is not going to happen.
You
know what I mean? So often our plans are in motion. Mm. And we're not even aware that it's happening. It's only in hindsight that you realize that, oh, wow, this is my journey.
Yeah, that's true. I also guess we obsess with the fact that we don't know what the next step is. Mm. Sometimes you're doing this and you're worried about.
Sure.
So now when this ends, what's going to happen?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was watching Jason Goliath and Nicholas Goliath. They had a show last week.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how we become so obsessed with, like you're saying, the journey, that sometimes we should learn from GPS. That I know the goal is there. Mm. But GPS will show you the goal, but after that, all you'll ever see is the next step.
As soon as you start the journey, right?
Yeah.
They'll only give you that screen.
Exactly. And that often we must just focus on the next step because we know the bigger goal. So let's not obsess with the bigger goal. Mm. Can we just get to tomorrow and to Monday and to Friday? But we become, and then we beat ourselves up because we're not getting there fast enough. But we don't even have a plan for Friday.
I'll actually tell that to my food delivery guys. Because they always ask you, what's your address? I'm like, it's there.
It's there.
Just follow the damn thing.
That time you're hungry.
You're asking me for my address?
So how, where, at what stage would you say you realize that you are becoming a household name?
Household name.
Yes.
I think, okay, I got into Soul Candy.
I'm going to say it because you're not going to say it.
Yeah. I got into Soul Candy in 2006. Mm. And I mean, I was surrounded, I got surrounded by guys who are very supportive.
Yeah, you started at Soul Candy as I was starting at 5FM. I remember.
Mm-hmm. I got surrounded by guys who were very supportive, who saw it in me better than I saw it in myself. Terrence, Giggs, Clive, Max.
Sure.
Brian Black, all those guys just pulled together around me, even Thulani the Warrior.
Sure. Yeah, but generally, that's what, it happens even with girls. The yellow bone gets all the attention. So the guys were like, guys, we have a yellow bone in the team, guys. Let's protect him.
They pulled together around me. And I mean, I got in to rather introduce the CD side of things.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I mean, Soul Candy was just vinyl. So I got in to introduce the CD side of things.
Oh, yeah. And things are evolving fast at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To also handle the mobile side of things, ringtones and everything. But then the guys were just like, we know this is what you want. Come.
Yeah.
You know, and 2007, they started hooking me up with just gigs. Like, sure. Terrence took me to Klerksdorp. Gigs took me to Botswana.
Sure.
And Botswana, bro.
Yeah.
Botswana just happened for me.
And Botswana still loves you.
Yeah, Botswana just took off for me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm at Fashion Lounge every month.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, we good. And then 2009 happened. They were like, okay, compilation, are you ready? I'm like, I'm ready. And the guys also pulled together.
Would you say that compilation is what changed everything?
It did, yeah.
Because obviously you are on a trajectory that is, you know, you're in the direction.
Yeah.
But that compilation almost...
It did. I mean, before it, there was, I could tell that the industry is talking.
Sure.
Because the industry does talk. And so I'm like, okay, there's this young man.
There's a new kid on the block.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But then when the compilation came out, like, everything just exploded. In fact, to a point where I had to play catch up.
Oh, yes.
Because here's this song, Pure Surprise, and it's just booming. And at that time, you know how it was. Like, they attached the song to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
whether it's compiled or not.
Pure Surprise becomes a Lula song.
Yes.
The way Summer Days is my song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was that, and it just took off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From then on, it was just, I needed to play catch up. I needed to align the brand with what's happening with the music. You know, people must know me, must know what I'm doing. So I think 2009 is when things started to take off.
Where do the parents fit in this picture of our son is becoming a household name? Our son now has a song called Pure Surprise.
I think they were just, I don't think they truly were connected to what's happening. But I think my dad took a bit of interest. But he also was just like, okay. But I think he was updated by my brothers, especially my younger brother. Yeah, because I mean, he's been in the industry as well for some time.
That's Mawetu.
Mawetu, yeah. Yes. Mawetu has been in the industry for some time. So I think they kind of were like, okay, is it happening the same way?
Yes.
Or whatever. So I mean, the only thing I needed to explain, like, okay, I'm a DJ, so I'm traveling a lot. Yeah, I'm not going to be home.
And keep me in your prayers.
Yes. My mom was the prayer warrior for all that. So I think they just understand the surface of it. Or something.
Sure.
Okay, he's DJing, but the bottom line for them is that he has a job.
Yes, sir.
That's all candy. Even though probably the job wasn't happening anymore.
Sure.
Because at some point, Ricardo was like, bro, you're fired. Go be a DJ.
You're not delivering.
Yeah. It's, he was like, no, go.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, no, like, you can't do this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go be a DJ.
And we can't hold you back either.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what he was saying. At that point, I was like, what? You're firing me? But he laid it out.
He was freeing you.
Yeah. He laid it out to me. He's like, yo, listen, I know this journey.
The writing's on the wall.
Go do it.
Go.
Yeah. And even Brad Jackson, may soul rest in peace, he also elaborates. He's like, bro.
Yeah,
you will not be able to chase this the right way if you're still coming here for a 9-to-5.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're Brett Jackson.
Man.
You know, sometimes you forget how many soldiers have fallen. And you'll hear a name and you're like, oh, flip, there's another soldier gone.
That guy was the god of mixing. It was like,
you
wouldn't even hear that another song.
No.
He's just like, how does he do that? Just like, how does he manipulate?
You know, technically, Brett Jackson, Christos, Vinny, Louis Vega are probably, and Kent are my top five.
Yeah.
When it comes to just keeping it clean.
Mm.
Sometimes you're like, is the other song still in or not?
Exactly.
So yeah, Brett Jackson was incredible.
Yeah, so I mean, those are the guys that just were also like, go out.
So in all of that, mm-hmm. then you become a father. Let's talk about that journey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
2010.
Yeah.
The World Cup baby.
Yep.
No,
I'm sure when you're making the baby, you're like, feel it, it's here.
Yeah, that changed a lot of things. You know, kids will change the way you look at life.
Sure.
The way you plan life. And the way you just, like your heart. Mm, just change your heart and how you feel about certain things.
Yeah.
And Sazi did that. And I mean, I was lucky that it happened with the lady that it did. I mean, Fundi was my woman at that time. Sure. And it was, everything was just seamless. We're still soldiering it together even today.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah, fatherhood will change your life. I think you know.
So what would you say went wrong with you guys? If anything at all went wrong?
Yeah, I think just general life went wrong. I think I was also in a different zone.
Mm.
A lot of things were happening in my life and I probably wasn't giving it my all on this side. Yeah. Mm. And when that happened, it was just a decision on I can see this is not working for me and I'm not doing my best.
Sure.
But the child has to be in the best environment.
So did
ever.
You pull? Did you pull out a card and say, "I'm gonna release you"?
No. Yeah. I think it's what we call stage. I think maybe the next step we get stage.
Yeah.
You know.
A dolly dolly.
Yeah. I happened.
If you could do things differently in that relationship,
and
I don't want to dwell on it,
but
is there anything you feel you could have done differently?
Damn, she's gonna like this.
Fundi, you're welcome.
Yeah. What could I have done differently? I think because, I mean, what I feel was wrong, I was just too consumed in the industry.
Mm.
I just got swallowed in at some point.
Mm.
So I think I could have been more attentive.
Present.
Attentive to what's happening to me so that I deal with it better.
Mm.
And attentive to the relationship.
To the relationship.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Biggest challenge, co-parenting?
Ooh. It's just that, like, Fundi doesn't give me grief at all.
Mm. It's beautiful when you cooperate like that,
no? I think the challenge was that, you know, kids go through stages. At their infant stage, it's the mom. And at some point, he wants the dad.
Mm.
And the dad is busy.
Sure.
So for me, that was a challenge.
Mm.
Kind of left me with a bit of guilt.
Mm.
But I think we made it work. And she was a great part of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Looking at how Dad raised his boys, what have you taken from Dad's book of raising a boy?
Oh, that gentleman is a champion.
Yeah.
If there's one big lesson I always walk away with, I walked away with.
We must eat from one plate.
Yeah?
We must eat from one plate.
That was a lesson too, you know? Like, I cannot eat. If food had to come now, I cannot eat freely without asking.
We must all eat.
Yeah. Like, is everyone eating?
Sure.
Yes. And also just when something, and this was our fridge philosophy.
Mm.
If something is in the fridge and you know it's not yours, don't touch it or ask. It could be an onion.
Sure.
It could be one egg.
Mm.
Ask, like, you know, just the courtesy of finding out whose it is and whatever. Like, I apply that a lot in my life.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you know, as much as, so, like, even when the kids come over, when the kids are over at my place, because we raise them to always ask, I sometimes forget that.
Yeah.
So, you know, my son will say, "Dad, can I have an apple?" And I'm like, "Dude, you're at home, have an apple."
Yeah.
But then I remember that, but we raised you to not just.
Don't just. And it really instills a certain responsibility upon you.
Little respect in you.
Yeah, I think more than anything is respect.
Mm.
So it's that, and it's also just looking out for each other, because growing up, it was five men in the house. Mom comes during holidays and whatever. So it was just like, look out for each other. In whatever. You know, it doesn't matter you, the one who got successful and the other one didn't.
We're on the same bus here.
Yeah?
We're on the same bus.
Yes, we are. We are. And it'll happen for you and it might fail for you. It'll happen for the other, but we should all ride together.
Let's go from a reproduction to production. Then you start making music. Let's talk about that.
So making music for me,
yeah,
the strategy was that okay, I'm gonna collaborate with people, with beat makers, people who are really like, good at it. Because I was like, yo, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna learn all these instruments and whatever. So I'm gonna work with people. You know, and the thing is, for me, that's how I've always viewed music.
Absolutely.
If you look at all the greatest songs that were ever produced, the list of people who worked on them.
It's a collaboration.
So I mean, when I first attempted it, I did it with Mino, boy from Soweto. Mino and Sypho. And that's when the 2010 project came out. The 2010 project was partly a compilation and partly original songs. So between Mino, Sypho and I came out I Wanna Love You with Notende, came out Without You, came out the song with Mauritian, Keep the Level Low, came out the song with MXO, and that was such a like a learning curve for me that time, because the production happened between end of 2009 and 2010. So
and it released quite a few anthems.
Quite a few, to my surprise, because
I mean, dance floor anthems.
Some of them, I listen to them now, I'm like, jeez, that sounded horrible.
Or we could have done a bit better here and there.
But it was such a great process, because you know, it was a matter of, I've got nothing, but I want to make something out of it. What does it take? Studio time. This. That. I'm at Sypho's place. A lot of days I'm there. Some days I'm at Mino's place. We're just trying to make something. And there were more songs than there was. Literally, I was looking to do an album. Submitted to Brad Jackson. He's like, no. No. There were a lot of songs. He's like, no, we're not doing this. And I think we ended off with those. And honestly, I Wanna Love You was the standout one. I was like, this is the tune.
It's catchy from the first listen.
I remember even taking the CD to Metro myself for it to go get played. And really, like, it was a matter of making the beat. It was Sypho and I, and I just gave the ideas. I'm saying, I want something that sounds a bit samba-like and everything. And when we were planning, hey, who's gonna do this vocal? I just thought Notende, because me and Notende had spoken before in 2009 about doing music. We were in Bloom, actually, for the Makufe weekend. And then I was like, girl, this is the one.
You know that Notende singing at a public level started on my radio show.
What?
Because she used to do radio jingles for me with Cleo.
Whoa.
So as far back as 1999, 2000 I think she was still in high school even.
Wow.
That's when the public started hearing her voice on my radio jingles at YFM. So she's been at it.
Wow.
Now your project, though, also introduced you to the other side of the industry, where there can be acrimony and back and forth. What went wrong or could have been handled differently with you and Notende?
I think it's the agreement. And even if they probably would have happened verbally.
So she's thrown a million accusations at you. What is the truth and what isn't?
I think it's the agreement and my understanding of it and her understanding of it. But there were no written agreements. But even verbally, I don't think there was clarity. Everything happened in the heat of creating music.
As one does.
And at the end of it all, here comes the drama of it all. And I'm taken aback. I'm like, how? What did I miss? Go speak to Soul Candy. There's like just different stories. And I just felt like the hanging fruit, the low hanging fruit. Because, I mean, there are so many people involved in this song.
Yeah, but the longest neck is the one that gets the chop.
Yes. And it was a bit of a hurtful experience for me. But I just felt
did
like...
Did you call her and say, let's talk about this?
I spoke a lot of times about it. Yeah.
But didn't find each other?
We were just not finding each other. And it saddens me, even just thinking about the song, that it went there, because it was such a groundbreaking song. And in reality, and just how I viewed it, it was a butter trade. There are two songs. There's one song that's on my album. There's another that's on her album, which is still a collaboration between me, her, and Cypher. And in publishing, she's 50%. Cypher and I are 25-25. And I probably might have misinterpreted it, or she might have. It could be anything. But I think it went so far where I just surrendered to it.
What does surrendering mean exactly?
I just let it be. I was like, okay,
whatever. So there's been no resolution?
No. It's been none.
And then do you and Soul Candy owe her money for it? No money? Has money made?
Well, what's money could be that... Okay, if we're talking money, as far as I understood, and as little as the money could have been, when we were creating the song, I paid a session fee. I paid studio fee. Everything. For me, that meant... publishing rights, she gets her full rights, which is 50%. But other rights,
you own the master.
Paid a session. Yes, that's how I understood it. Whether I'm wrong or not, I'm getting a lot of different things about it.
Can you guys fix this?
I wish we could. Like, and I think she knows it.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I've also told her aunt, Notembe, that, geez, I would never want to carry such a thing.
Sure.
Yeah, but I just didn't like how it went. But I was just like, okay, I'll let it be.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll let it be. And I'd never hold anything against her. But if there's ever an opportunity for us to speak... happily.
There's a brand new project that you literally did the launch party for last week.
Yeah.
Tell us about the brand new project. It sounds amazing. Yo.
So in the beginning of my career,
yeah,
and just to introduce myself, especially here at the Capello in Newtown across the road, I was more, I played lounge music, in fact. Like, my DJing career got known through lounge music. Besides, before even the first compilation. So I used to play lounge music, and for me, that was my origins.
Sure.
So I've always wanted to get back to that. And with this project, after so long, after I observed everything that's happening in the industry, I just thought, I need to get back to this.
True.
And I need the right people who will understand what I'm trying to do. And it took a while to get people that will understand. And some, but we thought we were doing house music. It's like, no.
Yeah.
And now I had to go and show them that, okay, these songs that you think are house music, here are the originals.
Absolutely.
The originals are lounge music.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, I collaborated with a lot of great people. And the best person that I've worked with in the past three projects is my younger brother. My younger brother is an incredible musician, incredible producer. He understood.
Yes.
You know, and he probably helped me give everyone else direction. On what I want the outcome of the project to be. So Ocean View was a project that I've been working on since 2018. There were other projects in between it, but I kept doing songs with in collaboration with other people and just banking them. Hey, wait, then this needs to be a special project.
Sure.
And I think until early last year, I was like, it's time now to put it in motion.
Sure.
And yo, I pulled in a lot of incredible producers, singers. There were just a few, because a lot of it we just did sampling.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's what it is. It's all, it's almost like a representation of my beginning in the industry, and just also of where I am musically, where I feel like, you know, I just want to shoot the breeze. And
is that one of the reasons you even do your Sunday show on Metro FM?
And you know, you are talking about some things I plan. Even yes. That was not the plan.
Sure.
Because Ocean View was already in production.
Yes, sir.
But the Sunday show came to me, through Metro, and it was just like, oh, this is perfect. You know? Because I could easily fit into that show, because it's music I've always...
I repeat, doors open when you are ready for them.
Yes.
I don't think it's a mistake.
So it was literally something that happened in unison by some divine intervention. But
serendipity. Is that the word? Serendipity, I think.
Yeah, serendipity. The word.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just happened to happen at this point.
Sure.
But it was perfect for what I wanted to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ocean View, how many tracks? Where do we listen to it? Where do we get it?
Ocean View is 12 tracks. It's on all platforms.
Okay.
All platforms. In fact, I'm really trying to see if I can put it on vinyl.
I was about to say, please release a vinyl.
Yeah, just
edition.
A collector's item. It's expensive, but I want to do it.
It's worth it.
Because it's a very special project for me. I've worked with amazing people, and I feel like it did more than I expected.
Yes, sir.
The feedback I'm getting is more heartfelt.
Dude, it's an incredible project.
Yeah,
incredible
I'm getting project. A lot of heartfelt feedback, and I'm just like, okay,
sure,
this is obviously something special I've done here.
Mm.
And I'm already trying to work on something else.
Let's go. The radio show, where do we catch the Sunday radio show?
Sunday, it's 6 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Supreme Lounge.
So for similar vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolute similar vibes. Honestly.
It's a kick-ass show.
My excitement is just to curate everything.
Your Sunday show is so good. It only makes sense when I'm driving. So sometimes I just get in the car and just drive for an hour.
Yeah.
Just to... get a smaller dose and then just drive back.
It's such a passion project because I'm alone on that show. Alone. And I'm talking technical, everything.
And don't you find, you realize that your entire week is almost consumed by this one radio show?
Yeah.
Because you must curate it perfectly.
Yes. And I'm not complete until I've done that work.
Yes.
And when I sit and actually do the show.
Yeah.
You know, there are times on radio where you just switch, you know the music is playing, you just turn it down and you start doing your own thing. I don't on Sunday.
Yeah, you're fully present.
I sit there, I listen to the songs like I'm listening to radio.
Yes, sir.
Or I'm in the car somewhere. Mm. And that's what it is. That's what it feels like to do that show. Yeah.
Mm. Let's change gears a bit. Mm-hmm. So this month was Men's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've learned to appreciate about you, us being in a WhatsApp group or two together, is your honesty. I remember there was a time where you felt you were not in a good space.
Mm.
And you told us in the group that, guys, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'll come back when I'm in a better mental space.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that one ability to handle your mental health and your ability to even open up about it. Any other person could have just muted the group.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But you took the courtesy of saying, guys, I am leaving the group. I'll be back when I'm okay.
Yeah, I think, and especially the world as it is now with the access to social media and everything, we bombard ourselves with a lot.
Yeah.
And we find ourselves so consumed in trying to be all of that.
Yeah.
And in certain instances, like WhatsApp groups and everything, you are in a bad space, but Fresh is excited about something that is happening now in his life.
Sure.
And it's not jealousy when you feel some type of way. It's just like, I wish that could happen for me too.
Sure.
But it sort of hurts, you know, it's that kind of pain that you feel when someone is doing better, but you are not, but not for them, but for yourself. Why am I not there? So for me, it was sort of like, I do that like in progression. Like I've just learned to sort of always afford myself some peace.
Sure.
you know, switch off when I need to. Whatever the whatever is happening around me, it could be a big deal, a big meeting with someone, whatever. I'm always like, no, no, no. I need to be in the right space to do this, and it has cost me money. I won't lie to you, it has. But it's also it's just the peace is better. To communicate it will always be tough.
Sure.
And only because as men we were brought up a certain way
to be tough.
Yes, we were brought up a certain way, so it's always tough to communicate. And also I've learned to not say things in the heat of the moment. It's hard not to, but it's easier when you've thought about it and you can probably simplify your communication and be like, gents, I'm not in a good space, can I just step back?
Sure.
And I think when you do that, there's no what do you call, where everyone comes to you like, what's wrong? What's happening? Whatever. Sure. You know, it's like a, you know, where everyone is reminding you that you have a problem. So I've honestly learned to take care of my peace of mind.
Protect your peace.
That I protect it. Yeah. Because there's a lot happening, especially in this day and age. There's a lot that even us as human beings, we've done wrong, or we don't know we've done wrong. But when it gets when it comes to us, when we are presented with such things, we tend to retaliate or we do whatever. But I've just learned that I need to be in a space where I can step back, observe, think, respond in a manner that will not complicate things.
Sure.
So I've just it's honestly work in progression. I'm not saying I've nailed it, but I'm just at work trying to be a peaceful person.
But you also packed your bags and you left and went back
to the
home, as it were. Why did you
I didn't go home. Well, I moved back to the Val.
Yeah.
And that decision was quite tricky for me because it happened in 2017. I looked at where I am in Joburg and what it has done for me, the influences, everything that sort of like has brought me to where I was in 2017. And I was like, I need to go back to some sort of originality or some sort of normality in my life. And I thought, you know, I'm not one to say to people, no, don't go stay in Joburg, don't do this. But I thought for myself at that time, I need to move back.
Let me unplug.
Being a normal, out here, so solo, and whatever. And I moved back and I live in Vanderbijl Park. My childhood friends I hang out with.
Sure.
Like, it brought a different perspective on life for me. And I'm in a better space, and there's always suggestions. I'm like, wow, so you get juicy. Things are happening. I'm like, trust me.
I'm happy here.
I'm okay. I'm okay. And I'm not saying when it happens that I'm compelled to come back to Joburg. Sure. I won't. I'll do it. But where I am now is...
Yeah, if you can operate in Jersey and the rest of the country, but live in the Vaal, why not?
Yes. And it has also opened my eyes to a lot of things. Like, for me now, my goal is just to contribute to the industry that side. And I've just been doing that. That's what I've been about.
And then there was the issue of the leaked tape.
Tape.
Yeah. What happened there?
That's just a matter of trusting people in your private space, and they decide.
Yeah,
they are going to.
You know what I loved about how you and Naked DJ handled it.
Oh yeah,
was how the tape happened.
Yeah,
you were trending.
Yeah.
Hey, tape of Lulo naked in the hotel room.
Yeah,
wara wara. At some stage, we're even worried about you because
you
posted something very cryptic.
No, I was, and let me explain that.
Yeah.
You know when. I was feeling like I've let people down.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just like, this is not the type of people I usually allow in my life. But clearly, I misstepped.
Error in judgment.
Yeah. So I was just like, guys, I'm sorry, but I know this is not me.
Sure.
And I needed to switch off for a day or two, you know, to take it. But when you talk about how Naked and I
love the fact that a week later you're Naked on the radio. Naked is like, I see you're also a Naked DJ.
and, And I needed people like that.
Yeah.
And really, like, you know, the people that really brought me back to it ASAP was Metro. Kina, my boss, and everyone were just like, hey,
because
it was during the week, and they were like, Friday, you are coming to the show. Don't even don't even try and
the show goes on.
Yeah, the show goes on. Yeah. I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'll come. And it was an iffy moment for me. But I was like, okay, let's just go.
Mm.
And everyone else, everyone else was just like...
How did close friends and family do
it? Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone else just pulled together.
Mm.
They were just like, come on. Like, this is just someone you trusted and they did this, you know? And everyone was just so graceful and so amazing about it. And it just sailed through that way. You know, and obviously your friends are just like, revenge. I'm like, no, we are not doing that. It's just going to escalate to a whole lot of unnecessary.
Did she apologize for it?
No, I didn't talk to the person. I don't need to. They did what they needed to do. And for me, it was just like, okay, that's who you are.
So what was the lesson from that incident?
Fresh, you can never, ever, 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 like, know what people are about. And even when you do, they become something else after, after maybe the connection with them ended and everything. Or what happens again is that when a certain something is happening in your life, it triggers certain people. Whether you did them wrong or not, you don't know. But obviously their reactions become that. But yeah, I just realized that, hey, we are dealing with people with with certain reservations about you or certain feelings about you.
Or and intentions.
Intentions. And I don't think it was, and I'll say this, I don't think it was intended at that time. But I think something probably triggered it. So for me,
my other lesson is, when we get to the room, put your phone in the safe.
you can never, like, I promise you, you can never.
Because next thing you're gonna wake up in a cell.
And that's the world we live in now. Unfortunately, we live in a world where everything is recorded for every little thing,
and everyone's looking for clout.
Yes, there's not a thing that you do that's not recorded.
Absolutely,
whether you see it or not.
That's why hotel rooms have safes.
Yeah,
use it, don't use it. Anyway, listen, we're running out of time. In fact, we are out of time, but I need to play.
Talk for that long? I feel like
we've done an hour already.
Ah.
And I need to please put in your headphones. I need to play something for you. And I doubt we can play all of it because we are out of time.
Aye, man.
But let's have a listen.
What's good, big dog? What's good, Lulo? This is Naked. I've been working with you for almost 14 years now. And we've been friends for almost 14 years. And I just want to say to you that never let your passion for real music die. You're always researching. You're always trying to find the next best song. You're always trying to find the next best thing. As far as South African house music is concerned, don't let that ever die, because what you do is, you know, you make our radio shows better than the previous show. Every single week, we improve. You make my love for music grow each and every week as well. And just that passion that you have for real, proper music, my brother, I think breathes life into me as well. Like, you're one of the most solid dudes in the industry. I remember, I think it was probably 2012, after my first divorce, you called me and you found out that I wanted to spend my birthday at home alone. And you said, nope, not under my watch. I refuse to let you be home alone, even though that's what I wanted to do. And you brought me out to the vow, and I forgot what I was going through. And that's when I learned to Gucci. You know, you are in touch with not only your emotions, but the emotions of the people around you, which you hold dear. And you know, I think that's when I realized that you were a solid human being. All right, ish, you got me going emotional and everything. And I guess, oh yeah, talking about working with Lulo, one thing that people don't know about Lulo is Lulo is actually a very religious person. I remember he would pray before our radio shows. Every single Friday night, Lulo would pray for us, pray for strength, pray for the team before every radio show.
Pray for the ratings.
And it's like, hey, dude, Lulo, you do know that you are on a show called Audiogasm and you're working with a guy called Naked. I don't think God is going to be here listening, dog. You know? But you've kept us strong.
Yeah.
You know, so big up to you on that. So there's one thing a lot of people don't know about Lulo is I love my authentic hip hop, not just commercial hip hop for clubs, but I love proper underground hip hop. And Lulo has a vast knowledge of 90s, the golden era of hip hop music. Not just the commercial stuff, but the underground as well. The 2000s, 2010s, even up to date. Like, you can ask Lulo about anything. I fact check Lulo about any form of hip hop. And Lulo has that knowledge. Anything from old school hip hop to trap today, Lulo's always got it on lock. He's always on point. He's my personal music encyclopedia. And Lulo used to rap back in the day. So my question would be, Lulo, why did you stop rapping, number one?
Yeah.
And with the vast knowledge that you have of hip-hop music, why did you choose house music instead of being a hip-hop DJ? All right. Anyway, thank you. This is to Lulo Cafe. We celebrate you today. You've done so much for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, yo, I love and appreciate you. Thank you, Lulo. Sharp big dog.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
So what was your rap name?
It's changed so many times. But you know, I've always used my name for anything.
Sure.
So my name is Sikululo. My rap name was C-Cool.
Oh, C-Cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I think there's been others as well. Yeah.
And what kind of bars were you dropping back then?
Guys, I don't even remember.
You're lying.
This is so long ago. This was high school.
Every
90s.
High school rapper has a go-to verse.
I don't remember. Oh, my word.
What are your thoughts on that voice note from Naked DJ?
Yo, Naked DJ, man. Like, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing on radio without him. Like, that guy is the KRS-One of radio.
Yeah.
He will teach you.
Sure.
Like, even today, they still bring people to our show for Naked to show them how things are done.
Absolutely.
Like, the gent is amazing.
Solid dude.
Yeah. For me, at the beginning of Metro 2011, it was just for music. I was just like, just here for the music. But now I'm so entrenched in radio.
Sure.
And that's all because of him. Mm. He pulled me in, taught me everything, told me, you are not a radio person until you can walk in on your own, put together the show on your own, and run it on your own. Mm. And that's where I'm at right now. I really appreciate Naked. It's been so many years of greatness.
Mm.
And I mean, what we built with Audiogasm is something amazing. And even till today, it still feels like a new show.
You guys sound amazing on the show.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Like,
We have one last one. We're being shouted at for time.
Oh, we've been shouted at.
Put your headphones on again.
You're not going to let me go before you see tears.
Lulo Cafe. Oh, wow. Where do I start? I'd say Mr. Gift of Cool himself, a guy who will become in any situation. I mean, a guy who has order. I feel like order comes naturally to you, to Lulo Cafe. I mean, Skululo would rather remove himself if, you know, order is compromised. And he's the most reliable person that I know. And his exceptional work ethic, I think, is what has kept me close to him. And having had the opportunity to work closely with him, you know, even weekly lately, I have seen how he sets the bar and never drops a day. I mean, this guy always shows up where he's expected to show up. And more than anything, I admire the brand that he has built over the years and how solid it is. And it's a household brand. This guy is a household brand. Mm-hmm. The type of music, he has never swayed, and he has been consistent in his craft. So I really love and appreciate Lulo. And it's so funny. I was just thinking about how even our friendship started. Mm. We shared a joke, and the joke was that when I first heard of the Lulo Cafe name, I literally thought it was a venue. So the first time I met him in person, I actually shared that joke. Yes. And that was just the beginning of a friendship that has lasted for over 10 years.
Mm. Unknown caller.
No, we're busy.
And still counting. And over those 10 years, it has grown from those, you know, awkward, warm smiles when you bump into him at gigs, and the long silent drives to Eswatini when he discovered that I was from Eswatini, and our friendship grew. He would be like, hey, when are you going home? Because I was a student when we met. When are you going home? Don't you want to drive down with me? Mm. It would be long silent drives most of the time, but it was never awkward a silence. So he taught me to appreciate the beauty of silence, even, you know, even in friendships. And yeah, the fun, wild nights, you know, Skululo will come out and have fun, you know, in the most genuine way and in the most, you know, safe, a good fun, you know. And I always just felt safe partying around him and enjoying, you know, a good fun night. And the funny thing is that the mornings would kind of be completely a complete opposite, because now it's like sincere check-ins on how you're doing and if you're winning at life and how he can help. Yeah, what can I say? I just love his calm, caring nature and ability to look out and go above and beyond for the people he cares.
And that is a good friend of yours.
Yes.
Who is that?
Samu.
Yeah.
Me and Samu go way back.
Sure.
That's like, I told you at my home it's just boys.
Sure.
So she's like a sister.
Mm.
Me and Samu, she was still studying in the Val when I met her.
Mm.
And we've just been friends for that long.
Did she change when she became Miss Swaziland?
Miss Swaziland. I met her like after.
Actually. Was it after?
Yeah, it was after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know she was there. Mm. I was like, no. What do you do when you're Miss Swaziland? Do I tell everyone in Swaziland that I know her?
Exactly.
Yeah, but oh man, she's been such an amazing friend to me. Like the thing about us, we've met so many people and made friends with them, but we've always remained good
consistency
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just one of those people I have a soft spot for.
Sure.
Very soft spot. She's a great lady. Mm. She's very caring.
Yeah.
And it's weird to hear her speak about me like that. And I hate that people, like, I think at some point she had a problem with the silence, because I don't have a problem with silence.
I could sit silently with you for 2 hours, and it's okay, and we're cool.
Yes, and sometimes I actually would drive in silence without even music or anything like that.
Mm.
So things like that, I know sometimes they bother people, and she was concerned about it at some point. I'm like, actually, trust me, this is the best time, you know, silence and everything. But that's my sis. Like, we come far, and we do. Now we've, you know, sometimes working with your friends can always be tricky.
Mm.
But I took time after a long time we've known each other. We've only started to work with each other now. I was just like, I need to put you into something that's not going to compromise you, because the nightlife is tricky for a woman. And I was like, I need to put you in something that's not going to compromise you, that's going to still maintain how dignified you are. And we're doing the old school Tuesday, a vinyl night at Opera. And for me, that's now we've like, I think our relationship as friends has just like gone to the next level. And yes, she's right. I'm the one who checks on everyone in the morning. Hey, are you home? Hey, send me your Uber trip. Send me your Uber trip. I want to see you get home. Yeah, yo, me and Sam go way back.
My dude, we have a ton of other voice notes, but unfortunately we're out of time.
Okay.
So we want to save them for part two of this interview.
It has to happen.
I have been trying to get you on here for the last couple of months, and you avoided me for the last couple of months.
What did I say?
You said when you are ready.
Yeah, I wasn't in the right space.
Yes, you said, let me get my headspace right.
Yes,
remember I came to your vinyl old school nights at Opera a couple of weeks ago, and then you're like, I just flew in from Mozambique. I think I'm ready.
Yes.
And
I thought, I gave it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
It's hard to speak and knowing that I've lived for so long, I've done good and I've done wrong. So I'm like, I want to speak in a good space. And I think because of the emotions that people go through every day, I do too. There are days where I'm just angry at life and whatever. There are days where I'm just happy with life and I'm in peace. And I try to always capitalize on the days where I'm happy with life.
And I'm just
happy with connecting with people. I'm happy to talk. I'm happy to acknowledge my wrongs. I'm happy to celebrate my wins. And it's such a great feeling to hear friends speak, and colleagues speak like that. Because sometimes you are just doing who you normally are. You are not seeking anything.
It's another day at the office.
And people notice it. You know, So it was one of those for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dude, thank you so much for your time.
Bro.
On behalf of the industry, on behalf of especially the Deep House community, I just want to thank you for your unrelenting push, for your consistency, and for your unapologeticness about who you are, what you love, how you curate your music, and shout out to you, my dude.
Thank you. Thank you for
it. In closing,
yes.
The Olympics are happening in Paris, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And they've just added breakdancing or b-boying or whatever it's called as one of the Olympic sports. If they'd added a deep house category, who are the five producers we're sending to the Olympics to represent South Africa?
What?
Yeah. Quickly.
Okay, we are
sending... Team of five.
Yeah, we are sending Chronicle Deep, that's for sure.
Oh, please, yes.
Yes, we are sending Nasty Nerve.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm just doing this at the top of my head. We are sending Griffith Mallow.
Deep Essentials, yes, no?
Don't do that to me. You see, now we're going to go six now because you added your person.
Tim A. Deep, yes,
those
no?
Those boys, like Deep Essentials, they've got this drive in their hands.
Yay. Are you sending Poison? Yes, no? Who are you sending?
Yeah, Poison. You know what I admire? That Poison has found himself. He's found himself and it's sounding so... I actually did give him a call. I'm like, dude, I'm so happy for you.
My average house set will have two or three Poison songs.
Yeah. And just for control, Chima Music is the guy.
Chima must
anytime,
be the...
Anytime, anywhere.
If anything, as the coach. He must go as the coach.
Yeah. Anytime, anywhere, anything.
Yeah.
Chima's the guy.
True.
There are many and they know. Like, I support so many people. I get introduced to so many producers every week. It's like, where the hell have you been?
Is it not amazing how healthy the deep house scene
is
in terms of support? You'd think you're at a hip hop gig, the way these kids are losing their minds. And it's like, it's a deep house tune.
Yeah, and a lot of people are keeping it alive, you know? The Tequila Gang. I always told them, like, guys, if you guys didn't do what you did during COVID, I don't know what would be happening in the deep house industry now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I just wanted to thank you on behalf of the entire community.
Thank you.
We love you. We see you. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We know that you've only just started.
I have. There's so much I want to do.
Ladies and gentlemen. Skululo, Lulo Cafe Maliwa is about to leave the building. And yes, phones in safe if you come to my hotel room.
Please.
Please. Okay. And we are done. What an incredible episode. Shout out to Lulo Cafe. Check out his brand new project. It's incredible. If you're going for a long drive, get Lulo's Ocean View, if I'm not mistaken. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network, coming to you live from Newtown Precinct in Johannesburg. You must check out the AM Studios. Maybe you want to start your own podcast. AM Studios are the venue you want to try. And shout out to Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works. They do all of our cinematography. Shout out Otis the Flo Fraser for all of our imaging, and to our executive producer, Gilles Omudisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a fresh week in spite of yourselves.